Well, welcome. This is lesson number 19 on going on to perfection, which just means going on to spiritual maturity. And this is our third lesson on spiritual warfare. And I want to say, as I'm smiling while I say this, probably a lot of you that will listen to this will not agree at all with what I'm about to teach this morning. And I must confess to you that had I taught this lesson 20 years ago, I would teach it a lot differently than I would today. How many believe that churches have traditions? I have noticed that Catholicism has traditions, Episcopals have traditions, Mormons have traditions, Baptists have traditions, Pentecostals have traditions, Charismatics have traditions. And if we're not careful, we learn the traditions of a certain group that we identify ourselves with, and then we just move on that as if it were truth. And so today I'm going to go into a section of spiritual warfare. We saw in lesson 1, which would have been lesson 17, but our first lesson on spiritual warfare, where God gave them the city of Jericho. And we saw, if I put it in a very simplistic term, the lesson, the overriding rule or lesson there spiritually is that they had the ark with them, but they were walking in the Lord, with the Lord, obedient to the Lord. That is the greatest thing you'll ever do for spiritual warfare. And when I finish this lesson this morning, a lot of you are going to think, our pastor is not spiritual at all. Well, God be the judge. The second lesson, which was lesson 18, but the second lesson on spiritual warfare, we saw where they were defeated at Ai. We found out real simply because they weren't walking with the Lord. They didn't counsel him. They weren't walking in obedience. And so we're going to find out that being spiritual is probably not what some of the traditions of charismatic churches teach or Pentecostal churches teach, because a lot of people have been taught things that have caused a lot of people to be hurt because of not being biblically sound. So I want to say this morning that I believe, number one, without going into my credentials, I have worked with demon-possessed people. I have seen the Lord deliver them from demonic possession. And I have seen people oppressed of the enemy. And I believe in spiritual giftings. And I believe in the authority of the believer. But I also have found that God operates according to His Word. Do you know that when all of the Christian churches gathered together and prayed that we were not able to stop the legalization of abortion? Does that mean prayer does not work? Do you know that we have bound and loosed every type of demon in America, and it's worse now than it was 40 years ago? So does binding and loosing demons seem to be the solution? We have found that not a single country on the face of the earth has been taken for Christ. And yet everybody's praying and fasting. We have had prayer marches. And then Larry Lee, back before he fell, he was so spiritual. $100 to join his 300,000 man army that did the take the cities for God and all this stuff. We have been to the identify the demon and make it name itself so you can cast it out. Folks, we've been through so much foolishness that's not biblical, that some of you have tried to go to these other levels you hear about all the time that do not exist, that you are best to stay in the Word and get away from tradition. And when you do study the Scripture, find out what it says above it and below it. We have got spiritual mapping classes because you have to know what your city was founded on and who the demons were that ruled that. And then we've got these others that go and cry and weep because their forefathers mistreated the Indians, so they are repenting for all this. That is a bunch of hogwash. And if I'm hurting your feelings, I'm sorry, but there is no biblical basis for any of the things I've just mentioned. There are people that have written books that don't know what they're talking about, that have led many astray. And so now, because we are into foolishness, we keep intelligent people from looking at being Spirit-filled. I put that on tape, and I'll already tell you a lot of people will never be back when they hear that because they are spiritual. So what is spiritual warfare? Well, I won't get into demonic deliverance today. I won't get into these things. I do believe in it. I want to get into true spiritual warfare. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, Jesus came and He said, "All power is given to Me in heaven and earth." Who's got all the power?
Jesus.
Didn't give it to me, did He? But He then gave me how to be spiritual. He says, "Go therefore and teach all nations, baptize them, and teach them to walk in My word." That's spiritual warfare. And so what I'm doing this morning is I'm bringing this down to the very fundamental element to where you don't have to worry about becoming demonically possessed if you'll just stay spiritual. And you're going to find out that we are not given any offensive weaponry whatsoever. Oh, I've got the sword. Any offensively weapons whatsoever that can be used against or to deliver anyone that has not made a decision for Christ. We can pray and fast all we want for people that do not want to know the Lord, and it will not change their mind. And when you are serving God because you think somehow you will attain a level to where you can save your spouse or you can save your neighbors, the truth is you are probably someone that has control issues, and that borders on witchcraft. Because the truth is you need to save yourself.
Amen.
Now we can pray and fast and God can intervene just like He did with Abraham and Lot and bring them to a place of decision. But our praying and fasting will not make the decision for them. What might make the decision for them? Your witness. Because when they see the love, the joy, the peace, and the life that you live, everyone should want to live that life. And it has nothing to do with money and cars. Now, I've already told you some of you aren't going to like this. That's okay. It gets worse from here. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 15. I'm basing this solely on Scripture and 30 years of experience of dealing with demonic and oppressed people. And spiritual people, people born again, people not born again, Christians. Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended but this one thing. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth into those things which are before." Now, I'm telling you this because you'll get around, especially in spiritual prayer meetings. That's why we don't have a lot of them. Same reason we don't do a lot of open mic. When I say we, I'm talking about pastors. It's very hard for any church to allow spiritual prayer meetings to go on that don't turn into spiritual foolishness. Because you always have those that are so spiritual, they rise to the top, and they're teaching things that are not biblical. That's why churches quit having open mic. Oh, I can tell y'all are loving this. Because once you hand someone a mic and a testimony that should last 2 minutes, it's hard to get that mic back out of their hand. So I'm trying to teach, if you're really in here to go on to spiritual perfection, you've got to allow me to correct you a little bit.
Amen.
Because it means you're going on to maturity, and you're understanding there are some things greater in the will of God and the kingdom of God than your last tongue-talking session. Some of you are smiling, some of you are grimacing. That's all right. Point I'm wanting to make is, Paul says, if I'm going to count anything worthy, it's not that I cast out demons. It's not that God has allowed my shadow to be used at times to heal, because Paul knew he couldn't do any of that. It's Jesus' power.
Amen.
Now, you can be spiritually perceptive. And when I've worked with demonic, and I don't want to talk about me, but when I've worked with demonic people, I have seen them lash on some while others they had no power over. And it all comes back to if the people working with them are really spiritual or not. He says, "I count myself not to have apprehended this one thing. I forget everything behind, and I reach forth into those things that are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded." Point I'm trying to make. If you really want to enter into spiritual warfare, focus on what he just said. Because if your life's not in order, you sure aren't going to do any good out there declaring spiritual warfare. And any of us that think we're going to attack the devil, you better get ready to get the snot beat out of you because you're no match for the power of darkness. Period. Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, as I was preparing this lesson, I was going to get in to explain all these levels and all. Let me just tell you what this verse is describing, very simply. You don't need to dissect it. The only thing he's telling us in Ephesians 6, 12, and 13, when he says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, is he's telling us, this verse is describing that we are coming against an invisible organized army that operates on many fronts. That's it. That's it in a nutshell. Now, I've seen many people that thought they were a lot more spiritual than I am come and go. I'm still in the fort. I'm still in the race. I'm still here. Follow me as I follow Christ. I want to show you that after he gives us a description that we are coming against, or what is coming against us is an organized onslaught on many fronts in the earth, and we would all agree with that. Next, God's Word is going to give us the solution on how to deal with this. Then he says, take into you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand... Now, interesting that you're going to notice, and I'm not lowering your standard or lowering what you're shooting for, but it's enough just to stand. That's all God requires us to do. And I've watched people try to learn how to walk on water that never learned how to get their walk to work on dry land. Their family's a mess. Their checkbook's a mess. Their life's a mess. Everything around them's a mess, but they're out here going to spiritual mapping classes and spiritual warfare classes, and they're dealing with all this stuff that's out here because they don't want to deal with the real problems.
There you go. That's a good
question. Does that hurt? Spiritual warfare begins at home. Spiritual warfare begins in your heart. Spiritual warfare is you learning how to stand against all the wiles of the devil. And he's not saying conquer and go forth and have victory. No, the only thing you're called to do is be victorious enough to take a stand and to be not moved by the wiles of the enemy. That's not exactly offensive. I don't know about you. I'm having enough time on the defense at times. And the only offensive work, in my opinion, that the church is called to do is preach the gospel.
Amen.
And teach nations. And when I do that portion of the offensive work, I am a very spiritual being. That's what collectively we do as a church. If you want to know why you're here today and you say, well, I lack purpose. No, you don't understand. Your being here has edified us. Your being here has edified the body. You showing up means you must believe in this. Therefore, we are encouraged. You're dropping a dollar in the plate makes it possible. Your prayers. But the only offensive thing the church does is reach one for Christ. I can't go out there and cast out demons out of anyone that doesn't come say, I want deliverance.
Amen.
Living for God is a choice.
Amen.
Period. Amen. And anytime you think that any little incantation you can do in God's kingdom is going to make someone do something other than change their mind, you're already wrong. Just too strong. I'm laughing. I'm not angry. I'm just sharing what I've learned. So, it's interesting that whenever I put on the whole armor of God, it's for one thing. I need to take a stand. Because how can a house divide? Well, let me go on. 1 John 3 and 8. Watch this. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sins from the beginning. Now watch this. For the purpose of the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now we're going to stay in Scripture. Why was Christ manifest? Come on. What is to destroy the works of the devil. Wow, Christ wasn't manifest to destroy the devil or to cast demons into the pit. So what is the work of the devil? Well, a very short answer is deception. And lead you to bondage in your life. Deception, that the pleasure of sin is more pleasurable than eternal life in God. I can go right down that trail for a long time. And I'm doing my best to simplify these answers. But the work of the devil is the fact that your mind stays carnal, your flesh stays alive, therefore you sin. He has come to save us from our sin and then to give us power to sin no more.
Amen.
Are you with me out there? So I'm trying to say what I would believe needs to be done in every prayer meeting that a church is inspired is, look, you're not going to like what I'm about to say to you at all. You're not going to like it at all. God, you're not going to like this. You're really not going to like this. I lost a family last time I said this. I'll see if I can double it this time. You will not find anywhere in the Word in the New Testament that I am aware of where they ever prayed for anyone that was not a believer. Oh yeah, I got your attention now, those of you listening by tape. So send me some letters with some scripture. Traditions of Chrismania and Pentecostalism break hard. Just like we laugh at Catholicism, or you laugh at this, you laugh at that. We have as many charismatic, crazy traditions as every other religion. Is that true? Because it makes us holy. You can pray for every nation you want. Do something better. Pray for the believer that's over there striving for that nation.
Amen.
That God give him what he needs.
Yes.
That God give him power. See, now you're praying within the confines of the governmental army of the kingdom of God.
Yes.
But to think your prayer is going to somehow go into the kingdom of darkness and do a job, he's a little bigger than you are. So I think prayer meetings should be for one purpose. Number one, those that are needing help with their flesh. Can I tell you what needing help with your flesh is? You're not going to like me. How do I know? Because I got a lot of flesh. I guess it's showing right now. Can I tell you why we have so many problems with our flesh? It's because of our choices. And when I get to the end of this lesson, it won't matter what all and how pretty I've tried to make it. If you're not bombarding your mind with the Word of God and transforming and renewing your mind, then you're making the same choices. And you want to come to some Chrismania person that you think can lay hands on you, blow on you, sweat on you, spit on you, and solve your life. That ain't going to happen. It's never happened in the history of Christianity. Now, they might be able to come to you and say something. I say things, God, you're not going to like this at all. This is the adult class. I have to say things at the altar at times I don't believe to help people get a spiritual connection. Because they're thinking. Can I say this? How many say I should say it? I see as many psychosomatic healings, psychosomatic symptoms in people's thought processes as I do real ones. Therefore, you psychosomatically deal with it to help them in their mental attitude by binding whatever they think needs to be bound. No, I told you you're not going to like this. Because he's the counselor.
Amen.
Let's look at binding and loosing. I bind that devil. And if you do that, I'm not making you out unwise or unlearned. I just think the truth's the way to go. What do you think?
Amen.
Yes, amen.
First off, binding and loosing, like every other New Testament doctrine, it comes from the Old Testament. Binding and loosing is simply the governmental authority that was given to the Sanhedrin. Number one, it was only given to the most wise and scholarly and righteous men that made up that 71-member council. And the purpose of binding and loosing was, rather than me take a brother to law, I am to bring him to this council, not to the worldly courts. And therefore, and you will see, once you understand this, then you're going to really understand the New Testament scriptures. Therefore, whenever I come to this council and my brother and I sit down and we have a situation, whatever that group decides is correct, God says is what I'll bind in heaven. Whatever they loose you of, then I loose you in heaven. You bring it to a righteous council. Now, with that understood, it is a judicial terminology and used judicially. It is exactly what we are going to have the power to do throughout eternity. We will understand the Word. Folks, if you're not going to build a relationship with the Word, your walk is always going to be flaky. See, I can say that to this class. I can't say that to the church next door. I want to say that again. If you are not going to build a relationship with the Word, just let me tell you right now, if you're going to spend more time reading the latest million-dollar-making book at the Christian bookstore by some guy that's got some new charismatic theory, and it sounds good, and you spend more time in that than you've ever in the Word, you're always going to have a flaky Christian walk that will never produce all the fruit God wants to produce. That's my opinion. So in Matthew chapter 16, he says to them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answers and says, "You're the Christ, you're the Son of the living God." And Jesus says unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood did not reveal this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this revelation that I am the Messiah," the Mashiach, the Anointed One. That's what the Christ is. "Upon this rock," this revelation, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." I'm putting this scripture in context now, because as most people will do with their New Testament knowledge, they will pull out this one scripture. I'm going to get ahead of myself. I don't know if this thing is left or not. I can't remember if I put it in. You're really not going to like this. You're really not going to like it, because we've all done it, and I've taught it. Where two or three are together, whatsoever they shall agree on has nothing to do with what we've made that mean. You see, when we operate in incorrect principles, I think at times in our immaturity, God will bless us. But you wonder why it's not working now. You wonder why we still can't stop sin, abortion, the things being taught in school. All the churches could come and cut themselves and bleed before God. It won't change what happened. Because you've got to understand the plan of God and the will of God. That's not ever what Jesus was involved in, was politics or the sinfulness of the world. Because where sin abounds, he says, "I've got grace that will much more abound. So do what I've called you to do. Reach a few."
Amen. Amen.
Get your eyes off the rip in the hull. Get it on the lifeboat.
Yes.
"Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, let's put that in perspective. I've given you the keys, and now, because Peter, you've been my disciple, you and the boys for 3.5 years, keys open doors. And what I'm saying to you, Peter, is now, and Peter understood loosing and binding, Peter, those that you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Those that you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. In other words, it is a judicial counsel that these men have been given to have authority, just like when they would have their apostolic meetings. That if they couldn't totally understand the Word, through prayer they had the mind of God, of Christ, and therefore they were the ones that would make the traditions and the rules of the church or of a certain situation with people. So what's Peter do? He goes out and he looses the Samaritans. He looses the Jews. He looses the Gentiles. Then he give them rules to bind them and to loose them. That's the New Testament. It is not... You will never see them binding demons and loosing this. That stuff doesn't work. Now, it can work emotionally for you while you're doing it. But I would challenge anyone listening to me that's been in that long enough that finally you don't even believe it, but you do it anyway. Is that too real? Now, I'm going to ask a question in this room, and just, if you don't mind, raise your hand. How many have ever done things, even though you really didn't believe it had worked, but because other people in church were doing it? Quit. Quit promoting traditions that aren't biblical. Challenge what you're being taught. Because you will find out that all you really need to do is make sure you and your family get in the ark, and then live a godly lifestyle to reach a few. That is true spiritual warfare. Let me go on. Now, I'll later on teach on dealing with demons and all that stuff. We don't need that stuff. That's not even where this church is at. Or anyone else you know. 1 John 5:4-5. "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. And who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God." Now, I'm tying that back to the beginning of binding and loosing. He says, upon the revelation that I am the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, those are the people that will overcome the world. Now, what's deception? We are in ultimate deception because we have undeified Christ, and that's the very thing the church is built on. Are you with me out there? So what's my offensive weapon? Preach the word. Be instant in season. Be instant out of season. You might not like what you're about to hear. I think I already did this. Moreover, if thy brethren shall trespass against thee. Now, I want to put this in context so you won't think I just said what I said to make my opinion correct. Matthew 18, Jesus speaking says, if your brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between him and thee and him alone. Now, he's leading up to binding and loosing, and he's also leading up to what I just told you about, where two or three are together. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church, because we're spiritual. But if he neglects to hear the church, if he won't accept their binding or their loosening, you with me? Their judgment. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen. A heathen man and a publican. They didn't cast the devil out of him, did they? For verily, you won't see that. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever shall be loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now he says, again I say, to reiterate this point, that if two of you agree on earth and you're the spiritual council, that this is what we say to you, brother, then there I am in the midst, and whatsoever they shall ask, it shall be done of them in my Father in heaven. Woo! We just totally changed the whole charismatic culture, didn't we? Is this helping anybody?
Yes.
See, you got weird because you were following the ways, the traditions of people that had well-meaning and good intent, but it wasn't biblically based. You're not filled with the Holy Ghost today and spoke in other tongues and really been born again because you followed the wisdom of other people. We can go through so many areas that well-meaning people and traditions of certain religions have kept us in or kept us from. And our job is to tear down every stronghold. Every stronghold. What is a stronghold? Can I tell you what it is? How many know what a stronghold is? It's a way of thinking. And you've thought that way so long, we can't break through it. And that's why the preaching of the cross, and that's why the foolishness of preaching, sometimes he uses his word like a rock. Why? Because you're a hardhead. I'm a hardhead. When you say it like that. Because my thinking has a stronghold, and I can sit here and read the scripture to you, and you still can read it, and you won't believe it. Because someone told you it meant this. And you sit under someone's teaching long enough, you better look out, because you're going to think like them. Please don't think like me. Think like the Word of God. And when I teach something that's biblically incorrect, do me a favor. Don't stand up and rebuke me. Come to me and say, Pastor, have you thought about this, this, and this? And then I'll stand up and I'll correct me to the whole congregation because I don't have all the answers and I don't know all truth. But I am endeavoring to teach you as I learn. Had I taught this lesson years ago, we'd been binding, we'd been loosing, we'd been out there taking our cities for God. We'd been... Right. Right now I'm trying to figure out how to stay saved. Keep my family safe. Reach one or two. Wow, Pastor. No, I'm telling you, you're spiritual if you can do that. Especially this. We are in the hour of deception. Anybody seen the new show on Primetime Channel 2? Saved? Whoo, the ultimate deception. Ellen DeGeneres' ex-lover plays the lady that talks to God. Let me get on. I can already tell you where it's headed. I watched it the other night for the first time. I said, I got to see where this is going. I can tell you where it's headed. If you love everybody, then you're talking to God. Doesn't matter what your lifestyle or your choices. It's just about love. You know what I find about these people? And I'm terrible. I'm trying to get better as I get older. These people that walk in love, their love is so conditional. And so what I do is find their weak spot and poke them and watch them cuss. Because they're full of vengeance and hate. They walk in earthly love. It's not agape love. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Let me get on. False patterns of thinking. Okay, we were given power, but what were we given power over? See, I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help you understand. A lot of people aren't in this class today because they think they've got a long way to go to arrive at spiritual completeness. The truth is, you're a lot closer than you think because God didn't make this where you got to go that far. The truth is, it's because they've heard so many things, they know they can't walk on water. They're having a hard time just believing God can forgive them of what they did yesterday. And so I'm not doing this to hurt people that have had spiritual good intentions. I'm doing this to help people that have been hurt by spiritual misteachings. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we were given power. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and brings into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I started to break this down and give you a word study in all of it. Let's make it digestible. The weapon of our warfare does one thing. It identifies every false pattern of thinking. Evolution. Hey, I know the Bible doesn't agree with that. Now, how can I know that? Because daily I wash my mind with the Word of God. I have renewed my thinking. I had some fundamental foundational flaws that strongholds were trying to be built on. But as I learn more and more about the Word of God and the things of God, I now am a child of God, acting like God because I act like I think. And I think in words. And when I put His words in my mind, it changes how I think and how I act.
Oh, that's good.
Amen. Period. So, what's a stronghold? It's a false pattern of thinking. Evolution. I know that's not Bible. Reincarnation. I know that's not Bible. Everyone's going to heaven. I know that's not Bible. Just being good's enough. That's not Bible. And you can fill in this list of strongholds. You say, well, I thought that was like people addicted to porn or crack cocaine. No. It can be any incorrect line of thinking that you have based your moral compass on or that you based your character and your lifestyle on that does not align with the Word of God. And I can pray over you, have Benny Hinn blow on you, do all these mass hypnotic things that we try to fall into, and it won't help you one bit until you decide you want the Word of God alive in your mind and alive in your heart, and you make a decision not based on your past, your feelings, or what your ancestors did, but on thus saith the Word of God. That is the sword of the Spirit.
Amen.
And you apply it first to your mind.
Yes.
And everything else will follow eventually.
Amen.
Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. There is that word again. Wow! We want to go forth conquering and to conquer. God says, I wish you could just stand. Is this helping anybody at all? And I'm sorry I'm screaming, but those of you in the back of the room, since I'm taping this and we're not using a microphone, I'm having to do this. So I wouldn't be screaming like this. I apologize. So I want us to realize, so what is the whole armor of God? What am I needing to stand against? I'm needing to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, we have angelic sightings. Can I share with you, and I don't know if I should put this on tape, but I will. I've been serving the Lord 30 years, and I've had an amazing, incredible spiritual walk. I had an amazing transformation. I have had the Lord speak to me, I'd have to count, maybe 6 times in 30 years. I'm talking about He spoke to me. And He never talks long. Few words. And I shared some of those things with you back before. When I came to the church, I said, God told me the devil's going to try to kill me. And anything He's spoken to me, it's come to pass. Have I had the bought coal of God, the still impressions of His voice as I'm reading? Lots, many times. I said that to say this. Not that I'm qualified. I've gotten out on the highway and hitchhiked because the Lord told me to. And I've told you the incredible story that came of that. And I can share with you the side of the coin to make you think I'm a very spiritual man. But the truth of the matter is, I know the other side of the coin where the butt lives. Tails. And those two coins, that one coin is you and it is I. So we can paint a very spiritual picture, but the truth is, in my humility that I have had to walk in through all my failures, I have learned not to exalt myself the higher measure than I ought to. But I'm saying that to say this. If you would quit trying to teach victorious and spiritual attacks and all this, and just teach people to walk on land, live above sin, in their prayers, when Daniel and
when Daniel, in the 10th chapter of Daniel, about verse 6, somewhere in there, begins to express that verses 1 through 3, he has been praying for, I believe it's almost 3 weeks, and he is in supplication and prayer that he can understand the Word of God. And the angel shows up. I heard your prayer and your supplication, but I've been fighting. I've been withheld against the governmental authority of where the angels fight, not us. That's a realm you're not even living in. And I'm trying to point out that if you will get your life in order, if you will get your thinking in order, if you will fall in love with the Word of God, that He will show up without you begging, crawling, screaming, whatever it is you do. Because God knows what you have a need of more than you know what you have a need of. But if you can't get your vessel to where your heart really wants the things of God first and you still love the things of the world, or you're in deception to where you're using the kingdom of God to still bring glory to yourself, what is that all about? Did that mean anything? It means I'm out of time. So what is the armor of God? I'm going to do this in 2 minutes. Loins girt about with truth. What is that? The wisdom and knowledge of God's Word, leading us to integrity and character. Then what's next? Breastplate of righteousness protects our vital organs. The best way I can describe this is the heart. Where the enemy gets most of us is he condemns us in our own heart. But the truth is we realize we are the righteousness of God because He who knew no sin, what did He do? He was made sin for us. So now then, we come against everything you're going to learn. Everything you're going to learn about the whole armor of God is Word-based. Period. It's all about the Word. I need to quit there. So, let me see if there's anything else I want to cover. Be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Ephesians 4, 27. Neither give place to the devil. James 4, and 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. I will close with this. What we do is, as we have reprogrammed our mind with the Word of God, we are immediately able to identify the deception and the attack of the enemy. Therefore, spiritual warfare is to immediately understand, I am about to be subdued, I'm about to be seduced, I'm about to be drawn away of my own lust. Identify exactly what's going on immediately by the Word of God. And what do? I resist it. How do I do that? I flee. I change my position. I do everything I can to avoid the thing that's caused me to fall before. But flesh will lie and heart will lie, and you will endure it until it already has you and you will give in to it again, and then you'll blame the devil. So it comes back to having that choice. The power of the Holy Ghost, prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up our most holy faith. So this is the beginning lesson in spiritual warfare. I hope it's done something to open your eyes in some areas. I believe in spiritual warfare. I believe in prayer. But I believe in reading the Word. But I also believe in people that are demonically oppressed. The church has the power to deliver them. But everything, God operates only one way. That is through people's choice. Had the demoniac not run to Christ, he couldn't have been delivered. Period. I hope something said here this morning has helped you. In Jesus' name, we'll see you next door.